We pray. Heavenly Father, may the fire of your love, your forgiveness, your truth burn brighter each and every day in our hearts and souls and lives. May your light guide us and fill us and reassure us that heaven is our home because Christ has won the victory. In him we have our being both now and forevermore. Amen. I wish you could have been there. What a day that was. Remarkable and scary. Here in Jerusalem, Jesus' disciples, they come through the streets up to the temple praising God. But in other tongues, foreign languages. Remarkable. I knew then the hand of God was on these disciples. Oh, excuse me, I'm Mordecai. My family and I, we're Jews. We live in Egypt, and we come up, as it is our custom every year. We come up to Jerusalem for the Passover and spend the month. And after Pentecost, we go back home. But this year, that year was different than all the other years we came to Jerusalem, and oh, the clamor. Everyone was talking about this Jesus, the prophet Jesus. We tried to listen and take in as much as we could. And you know, before we even knew it, Jesus was on trial. Our priests, our scribes, they were crying for the Romans to execute him, crucify him. What terrible times these were. What do you make of it? What did you make of it? The Romans took him, shed his blood, right as we're in the middle of celebrating the Passover. What a thing. And to our surprise, a few days later, this remarkable news comes to us. He's risen. He's alive. They say they even seen angels. Dead people don't come back to life, I told myself. But they insisted, no, he's alive. I tell myself, 40 days from Passover to Pentecost, then we go home, we go back to Egypt, and we talk of this no more. Until, of course, I went up to the temple to celebrate the harvest. And there are those disciples parading through the streets up to the temple, singing the praises of God in our Egyptian tongue. How can this be? Of course I would follow. What is this? The hand of God resting on these lowly disciples. But then they scared me. They scared me down to the core of my being. Peter got up and he said, "Let all Israel know that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, Master and Messiah." That's not good news. Not for me. It's not enough. God makes this dead man come back to life. Now he elevates him to the point of being Lord and Christ, Master and Messiah. But this is the very one we put to death. Our leaders, our priests, our scribes. They were calling for his blood. They said, he's an imposter. He couldn't possibly be the Messiah. He must die. And die he did. We killed the Lord of glory, the Lord of heaven and earth. Now, I didn't cry out for his blood, but my people did. How could I anticipate anything else but now the Lord of glory coming back and pouring out wrath from heaven, punishment from God for the slapping and the bruising the whipping and the beating, the spikes and the spear. How could we anticipate anything else but God's ultimate wrath for all the wickedness wicked people have put upon him? And in that moment, my heart burned with guilt. Guilt, it's as though Jesus was standing there right and looking me in the eye and demanding an accounting for all that I had done. Mordecai, what have you done? All those shifty looks out of the corner of your eye as you're plotting and scheming. All those lies or boastful words that trip so easily from your tongue, Mordecai. All the evil you have done with these hands. And I trembled. I am guilty. Do you ever tremble? You stand before the God who rained down brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, who wiped out Egypt with plagues because he would not let their people worship. The God who destroyed city after city as he ushered his people into the promised land. Do you think lightly of sin? That it's no big deal? The shifting of your eyes? The lies from your tongue? The evil from your hands? Are they not stained? Do you not feel the wrath of God? We had crucified the Lord of glory. We cried out, "What are we going to do?" God touched Peter. God touched Peter and gave him a special message. God spoke to us that very moment. And Peter said, "Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. For all whom our Lord will call. Repent. Repent even of nailing the Lord of glory to a cross and calling out for his death. Have you ever done anything so wicked as that? Repent, even though sins are forgiven? Yes. Those sins and all other wicked, wicked sins. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Oh, that name of our Master and our Messiah is a powerful thing. Anything that's connected to that has power. And now he invites us to come and be baptized in him to wash clean all those sins. How remarkable is this? Now all of a sudden in my heart burned hope. This Lord of glory who came down is not coming down to punish us and annihilate us in his anger, but he comes to baptize us in his own name and make us his dear children. To come and baptize us to impart his forgiveness and to impart his faith and to impart a new life here and forever with him in glory. And this shall be for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Have you been baptized? Have you been called by God? Have you been gathered to be his chosen people? Scripture says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you can say Jesus is your Lord, you are a child of God. That's what he's worked in us. And oh, how that burns in our heart, a burn of delight that we should be his, and he is ours for all eternity. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, all the gifts the Holy Spirit has, and even the Holy Spirit himself, to make you his special people, to guide you and guard you, protect you and deliver you to the Father's throne in heaven. What a powerful blessing. I was so happy that day. 3,000 of my fellow Israelites accepted that word from Peter and were baptized. And oh, how it made us instant family in a way that we had not been family before. The Messiah has come and made us his own. What a miracle. God had not only raised Jesus and made him the Lord and the Christ, he has made him our Lord and our Christ. And so we rejoiced in that. But there were a lot of my Israelite brothers who did not believe, were not baptized, who still doubted or mocked. And we wondered to ourselves, would they come after us as they came after Jesus? Were our days numbered before they would do to us what they did to him? And yet we determined at that moment to devote ourselves to God's word, God's people, and God's service in spite of the cost. Why? Because we're the children of God. He's the one who's called us and made us his dear own. And what else can we do with this life but serve him, praise him? And so us 3,000, well, we would get together in people's homes, in the temple. We'd celebrate. We'd sit at the apostles' feet and listen to all they had to say, beautiful messages from God. And we bury it deeply in our hearts. This is life, and having life to the full, to drink in the words of the apostles. We'd celebrate Holy Communion. And we were together, brothers and sisters as one. We cared about one another, all 3,000 of us. And if someone happened to be poor, we would sell something and make sure they had their daily bread. I'm sure you know what that is. As it was with us 3,000, I'm sure it is with you 1,000. That you're truly family, close and connected. And yet people asked us, aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid of those Pharisees and scribes that they will come out for you? I answered them, how can we be afraid? At once we were afraid of God's wrath coming down, and he gave us forgiveness instead. That changes everything. Once we felt fear, for we had hung Jesus on the cross, and now we see the forgiveness Jesus had to be willing to hang on that cross for us, to forgive us. How can we be afraid of mortal people when the Lord God Almighty is our God and will protect us? And so, out of love, his love for us, we love him back and devote our life and our attention to him. And that's why you are here today, is it not? You all could have been doing something much more interesting, but here you are. God has called you. God has called you to be his own, and so he has called you to come and worship and to, with mouth and heart, to confess your faith and to proclaim for all the world to hear, I am his for time and eternity. May his will be done in me and through me and with me forever. Oh, and may that be confirmed in you, confirmed in each and every one of us, that this is our stand and we will not move, because God has made him Lord and Christ, our Lord, our Christ. Do you feel it? That fire that burns in our hearts, that will not be extinguished. May God make that fire of faith also kindle into a fire of service to our Lord and dedication and devotion to Him, that all our days we might sing His praise, now and forevermore. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, our times are in your hands. Be with us and graciously guard and protect us. Forgive us when we too are slow of heart to believe all that you have said. Dear Lord, be with us and guide us by the power of your holy word, that we might sing with the angels on high your praises unending in whatever language or tongue you have given to us. Bless us, guide us, and work in all things to draw us ever closer to you and deeper into your holy word, that your will may be done now and forevermore. Amen.